Okay, we're up to Ais Nun Gimel in the Maamar HaShlishi, and this is one of the most profound or deep ideas in the whole Sefer. It starts off simply enough and goes into an interesting concept to respond to an innocent enough question. The Kuzar is... The Chavar is getting frustrated. He's losing patience with the king. The king, he told the king already that overall the Karaite system doesn't work, and the king accepted that. Then the king started asking about individual things, about Tuma, about an Eriv. And now in Nun Beis, he asked about the system of Etzuras HaPesach, how that works. Now, you're not about to give him a shir in Hilchas Erevin, the Masechtas Erevin. So the Chavar, rather than to answer the question directly, goes into an extraordinary discussion, as you'll see. It starts off innocently enough, and it gets a little more fascinating. Omer HaChavar.
The reason why he's asking this question is, it seems like the Karaites are right. Because here, he's thinking that according to the
Karaites, ridiculous. You put up a string.
And there's a wall, and there's not a wall. So he's getting more frustrated because he's going into the regular logic, right? Into the regular logic.
He's going to start teaching him halacha. He's going to start teaching him all the halachas of the whole Torah. Exactly. So Amar HaChavar. So the Chavar responds, Im Kain, if you're asking this question, Loichasku etzlecha ha-mitzvahis kulam, then you really don't get the whole idea of mitzvahs. HaChazak be'inecha, you're asking about the Tzuras HaPesach. HaChazak be'inecha, is it proper in your eyes? Ataras ha-nechasim v'hamamin v'havadim b'lekichas kinyin v'hatzavah. Do you understand that ownership of something can be exchanged by a kinyan? I give you a handkerchief, you pick up the handkerchief, bang, and now your house belongs to me. Do you understand that? Or a tzava, or a person who's dying, his tzava is like a kinyan? Or hataras ha'isha v'isura, or permitting a woman, or forbidding a woman to another man, achashayis muteres, or asring ha'etishiz muta, ba'amrai, teheili mekudeshes. What did you do? You give her a ring, or a pruta, you say, teheili mekudeshes, bang, now she's also to the whole world. Vatarasa, or permitting a woman, Asha Isa Asura, once she was a married woman, Bamre Kiswa Vichismu Tinuget. The system works in a way that you can pick at each thing. You understand that by saying words, she becomes an Ashes Ish, or Isis Ish. Chomash Ish Betaras Kayanim, or anything that applies to the halachis regarding Kayanim, Ima Shehishlam. Hishlam Tem Toli, the things you learned already. Toli b'maisim et ha-maisim, or b'dover men ha-diburim, which all depend on words or actions, ha-tzaras, ha-beged v'ha-bayis. For example, tzaras of a home or an item of clothing, ha-tuli b'mamra ha-kayin tamei etar. The white splotch doesn't make it tamei. The kayin has to say tamei. Now, right away you'll ask, why is he only talking about tzaras on a beged and a bayis? Tzaras is on a person also. But the Torah says specifically, that if you have a nega in the house, the kohen declares the nega tzaras, everything in the house is tameh. So the Torah tells you, take everything out of the house, ufanisas habayis, clean it all out, and then let the kohen walk in and say it's tameh. And presumably the same thing out of the beged, which is metameh ba'ayil. Now, it sounds ridiculous. The tzaras is the same tzaras before the kohen looked at it and said tameh, and after the kohen looked at it and said tameh. Why does the Kayan's proclamation, this is Tomei, why does that change anything? There's a Mishnah in the Goyim, says if you don't have a Kayan who's a Talmud Chacham, what do? It says you get the Gadol Hadar to go with a Bar Mitzvah Bacher who's a Kayan. And the Gadol Hadar looks at it and says it's a ras. Nothing happens. Then he tells this Bar Mitzvah Bacher, okay, you're a Kayan, you declare it it's a ras. So this Bar Mitzvah boy, based on what this Adam Gadol told him, says, it's a Nega. Bang, now it's a Nega. A political thing. So the nega depends on dibur. That's why it's a punishment for lashon hara, right? That dibur can do things. So the chavar says to the king, he says, and these things you do understand. V'chol ha mishkan alechol ha kedusha aleha ela ba'kamas ma'ishes ha mishkan v'mshicha b'shem ha mishcha. The whole idea of a mishkan or b'shem ha mikdash, which is isuri karis, all depends on putting it up. and smearing it with the Shemen HaMishloch, hein HaKayinim, lechol HaKadush HaLeim, ela b'miluam u'b'tnufa. The Kadush HaFela came upon the Kayinim with a formula. V'ha'leviim b'tahara v'atnufa. Leviim became Kadosh through also, and it was in a Parshas Nasai, the formula of being making Leviim Kadosh. V'tara tamei b'meinida, shubay efer hapara. Do you understand why water that has ashes of a paraduma, ezev shnitalas, it's eres, or the process by which a house is declared clean of its tumas tzaras, the keeper of avinus b'yamikipurim, v'taras migdash me'atuma b'seir azazel, imamaisim atluyim by? Do you understand that? Or berchus b'nei Yisrael b'nesai Aaron es yadav b'amar yivarecha Hashem, the kainim pick up the hands just a certain way, and that brings bracha. V'yachalim kol ma'isim ha'amaisim ha'eli nila laki. And all these things, spiritual things happen. Kimaiki. Now this is the point he's going to get to and he'll explain. And this line is the line. Ki ha-Torah kahavayis ha-tibayis kulam. What the Torah says takes place spiritually is like any natural occurrence, any natural phenomena, m'shu'eres me'is ha-vayrei. We all understand that in the natural world, if you do things a certain way, you get a certain result. And if you do things a different way, you get a different result. If you assemble a bomb, and you do it carefully, it won't explode in the person's face. If he's not careful, if he touches two things, one to the other, bang. Does he deserve to get explosion just because he touched this to that? In the physical world, we understand that that's what happens. If you take a fire and you put it to a curtain, you're going to burn down a house. So you don't say it's ridiculous because I touched this fire to the curtain, the house is going to burn down. A physical thing you understand. His point to the Kuzar is stop picking at the pieces. Start just trying to understand it, as he'll say, and he'll explain it in a minute. And the formula, just like there's a natural world, the same thing, the Torah teaches us the natural order of things in the spiritual world. We can't measure them. Just like in the natural world, it's measured and weighed and set up. I told you that the Greek model has four elements, the fire, water, air, and earth. And even living things or plants, and certainly rocks, are made of these things. Every single creature in creation is a balance, a very delicate balance of the elements that come together to create whatever it is. Now that's true about anything. Anything is a combination of elements which are very delicately balanced, and a slight change, when we learn chemistry, they explained that if you put in one more atom or one more molecule, it changes tremendously from something bitter to something sweet, from something healthy to something dangerous. Everything is in a mezeg, is in a balance. And he gives an example. A small change will cause it to be destroyed. Take the egg of a chicken. She have sida mikra ma'at mechaim gadol ikara tenua. It's a little too hot, a little too cold. You move it around the wrong way, the egg won't like the kabel tzura safrayach. It won't give you a chicken. You say, why is that right? Doesn't make any sense because the room was a little hotter, or a little colder. A chicken is not born. Those are the rules of nature. Yeshlu menu hamum hatar negayos oisa shloish shvuos v'tichol bayatzura ala shleimus. And chimum hatarnegalas. If you warm up the chicken, the egg, the right way, then you'll get a chicken. So he presents that you have to look at the Mesira, the things that we have from Moshe Mesinai, just as the natural world. Just like in the natural world, there's cause and effect, the same thing in the spiritual world. And that's the Torah that we have. Now, he goes a little further. Now here, he talks about alchemy, and now alchemy is a very interesting, science. Alchemy, when we read about it, we think about sorcerers. Alchemy was the study of the natural world with the goal of creating, making everything into gold or silver from anything else. Now, it wasn't just they wanted to be rich and have gold and silver. The old philosophers held that the perfection of the elements is gold. Gold is the most perfect. However, it's the most perfect. It's the most perfect of the elements. In other words, a stone is not gold because it's missing its perfection. And if we could balance the elements in it, the different elements that make up the stone, in the right balance, it would turn into gold. The same thing. Human beings die because the balance of the elements is imperfect. And if there was a perfect balance, then human beings would live forever.
Believe that today.
What?
Many people believe that today.
It's theoretically true. See, they had what they called the philosopher's stone. See, we don't think of philosophy and chemistry as being the same thing. But it was once upon a time. The idea that we think of it as a magic trick. You want to have a lot of gold, you get this magic thing turned into gold. That wasn't the pursuit. The pursuit was a pursuit of understanding the world. And the understanding, the philosophical understanding of the world was that everything could be perfected. Everything was just a question of finding the right combination and perfecting it. Now, although alchemy is seen as a pipe dream and, the knights of King Arthur's table and the sorcerer and the whole thing, the truth is that alchemy is the forerunner of chemistry. Chemistry exists today. Really the same thing. And it's just, what they did was crazy. We want to make everything into gold. By us, it's not crazy. We're going to make an atom bomb. You know, like it's much more sensible than what they did.
It does happen in this part. You know, they convert hydrogen into lead.
There are constant conversions in nature. There are constant conversions in nature. And, well, it's not as stars. Every time you burn a piece of wood and make it into charcoal, you're really doing that.
Yeah.
You're changing your every time you water evaporates, it breaks up its chemical that it's made from. So even though alchemy sounds to us like a funny idea, and is a very funny idea, but this idea, the idea of transforming matter, was seen as a worthwhile pursuit for very intelligent people. Not just for the fools. Now, why is he bringing this up? He's going to explain that there's a similarity between the alchemists. Is that how it's pronounced? The alchemists and those who look to create new religions. He's going to explain to create new religions, to come up with their own logical type of religion. Really, we're going to see he comes here to an extraordinary insight into the Eastern religions. You'll see how he does it. Listen to what he says. He talks about the Balei Chakmaya and the Ruchniyim. Those are two groups of people. The alchemists and those who, for lack of a better word, just create the religion as they see fit. This we'll call the spiritualists. Chakmoi Choshvu, the alchemist thought, Sheyisharu Ha'esh HaTivis B'Mishkolayim. Now, Eish HaTivis, we're not talking about a fire that looks red. We're talking about the natural warmth of the human body. The alchemists held that the natural warmth of a body, not dafka human body, of any body, has in it the power to change things. For example, you eat an apple, eat pretzels, and it gives you life. How do pretzels and apple give you life? The pretzel's gone forever. You're never going to see that pretzel again once you swallow it. So what happens? So they understood that the human body, which has its natural warmth in it from wherever that comes, has this ability to transform things into life. It can take food and transform it into something that gives life, which I guess is true. So they sought to understand. They said, look, everything is either earth, or air, or water, or fire. Obviously, there's some measure of fire, some sheer of fire in the human being that can transform things into a life-giving power. So they sought to measure that. That's what he's saying. They'll find some mishkal, some way to measure the human, the body's warmth. That she have a ha'inyan lahem ashi yirtzu. And they'll be able to take from that as they desire. Hatzabim kachatasha eitz hachayim ativi b'chayim ashiyafach hamazin ledamu basar ve'etzem v'sharei varim. Just like the body can change things into bones or the evarim as a person grows up, the human limbs, v'tarch limtzai ke'esh hazaitz. And the alchemist sought to find this fire, this want, v'hissu oisam, this yainesh, v'atzu oisam, v'mikra aloi mishuarim. They were tested by many examples of where they thought they had progress. Like the shifazera and the woman that turns into a human being. So that is the alchemist's dream, is to find that balance, and they're never able to do it. There was no progress. Now, how does that come to our discussion? It was a fantasy, but all science is a fantasy, and some of it comes true. All of science is a fantasy. Making an air conditioner is a fantasy until you're actually able to do it. One of the beautiful quotes I saw is somebody said the three sentences. It said, reasonable people can form their desires to reality. Irreasonable people try to change the reality to their desires. That makes sense. It therefore can be said that all progress is the result of the efforts of unreasonable people. If you're reasonable, so you live with the world. You can make an air conditioner. Who can make an air conditioner? It's ridiculous. So you just learn to live with the heat. Someone who's not reasonable says, I'm not living with the heat. We're going to figure this out. So all progress is the result of the actions of unreasonable people. Now, of course, for every Thomas Edison, there were 100 who did dumb things that didn't work, that flopped.
Many thousands.
Thousands that flopped until someone succeeded. But anyway, that is the effort of these people. And for the most part, they're not successful because they can't change nature. What? An airplane. Every time I fly, I wonder what in the world I'm doing in this box up above the clouds. It makes no sense at all. No? Why would a human being? What? But the people who die in an airplane, there are people who die in cars too. It's just that philosophically, I don't understand why I'm up in an airplane. I don't understand how the thing works. But wait, he wants to get to his point. He wants to compare the alchemists to those who try to reorder religion to fit. He says they're doing the same thing. Now, here, let's see the words, and I'll tell you what I understand he's saying. That's the way I'd say it. Haruchniyim. Now he's going from the alchemist to the spiritualists. Kashashim shamu me'odam ad b'nei Yisrael. They heard throughout the history of human beings, Mashahaya lehem me'karbanais, me'harais, oisis alakiyais. There were karbanis, and there were signs from God that these karbanis were desirable. Fire came down from heaven. Choshvu, so they thought, ki ha'aschola omnam hu me'hamechkar ha'achipus. That to get to the right balance, to create a spiritual thing that does things in heaven, comes philosophically. Sh'neviyim omnam hayu chachamim mechukamim. They were, who are the neviyim? They were brilliant people. And they were able to figure out which things make God happy. V'kivu, and they hoped. They'll figure out how to bring karbanos at the right minute, in the right alignment of the stars. However, they thought the actions, the k'tayrus will help. Until they create all kinds of things. These things which we hold to be us. They'll study, Elisha did this, Elio did this. And they think, well, Eliyahu Navi knew how to do Tchias HaMesim. He knew all the tricks. We can figure out the tricks as well. So he's saying is that basically these spiritualists are alchemists in a new guise. Now here is an important point. Today, There's a tremendous debate about the Eastern religions and some of the things they do, if it is Avodah Zarah or it's not Avodah Zarah. They are from Jews who practice or teach people that are ill some of the methods of the Eastern religions. And their basic argument is that it's not Avodah Zarah. We hold this to be in the nature of the world. Primarily, there are many aspects to this, but primarily they hold that the human mind can create a different reality. That by thinking of things a certain way, you can change. A person who's sick could change his illness by thinking it through in certain ways. They have names for it, and I mean, it sounds like Avodah Zarah. But they're claiming that it's a certain set of a natural set of events. It's not Avodah Zarah.
Now,
that's somehow manipulation of nature. Now, the Kuzari here is saying that when a person tries to do what the alchemist did with the spiritual world, and to say, if you do things with not a teva gashmi. A teva gashmi is a physical thing. You take medicine and it heals you. You do a surgery and it heals. That's called teva gashmi. It's a physical teva. That's not a Avodah Zarah. They're talking about a teva ruchni, a spiritual teva that they try to figure out. A spiritual teva. Now, if it could be explained that stress causes people to have heart attacks, okay, that's teva gashmi. What they're talking about is something that is explained, cause an event, purely spiritually. And that, he calls Osir. The Oitzer Nechman on the bottom refers to it as Avodah Zarah. Now, it's not the same. If Yudah Levi would call it Avodah Zarah, we would have a psak from a Rishon. The Oitzer Nechman was written later. And he calls it Avodah Zarah. The Kuzari says it's Osir. That an alchemist method in spiritual things, he says is Osir. It's something that's prohibited. Yeah, well, he's going to get to Kishuf, but here, it's not magic in the sense
what
that...
hypnotism?
Well, it's a good question what hypnotism is, and I don't know enough to answer.
Hypnotism, you're not invoking powers, you're not invoking spiritual entities.
Okay, good. You may be right. I don't know enough about hypnotism to tell you. Or the magnets, all the magnets that they wear. What?
There is medical
hypnotism. It's a technique. Medical hypnotism is a technique.
It's not a,
I don't know anything about it. Anyway, the point here, it's really it's a fascinating point he's making to the king. He's saying, look at the ruchniistical world like the physical world in the sense that there are rules that have to go. You have to follow the rules. You can't make up your own rules. And he's saying, you can't put it together yourself. You can't, just like in the physical world, you can't put it together. The alchemists who are trying to create the Eish HaTivi to change things are never going to find it. The same thing here. There's no method by which to put this type of thing together. That's what he's saying. Ve'ina nase kemutva. It's not something that's natural. Ke'amaisim ha-toyriyim. Shem doimim le-tiviyim. The Torah's teachings that are similar to nature. Ein chayedeh tenuasam. V'tachshavam toyu. Achetira ha-toldeis utroimim. Manhigam umaniyam v'tiyach elohi ha-yacholos. And you're not going to figure out the cause and effect that you should be able to do it on your own. All right, we're going to return to this, I guess, now next week. Have a...